This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's CISO.
Hello and welcome to Seagull Social Season 4, Episode 40. We are your hosts, Maz, Ben and Ryan, and we are back. Full fit squad, boys. We've got a fully fit squad.
All three
deserve
of us,
out.
Mate. Number of the week. Oh, my goodness.
For God's
crazy.
Sake. Well, there you go. What a way to start the pod. We've got one of our established, fully-fledged members saying De Zerbi out.
I'm only kidding, but I mean... The meltdown was on Twitter, really, wasn't it? That was absolute chaos. Yeah, absolute chaos.
It never the happens as well, so it's quite nice to see.
No, yeah, it's very unlike our fan base, to be fair.
Yeah, very unlike our fan base to react like that. No, I'm not a De Zerbi out, but it's bleak at the moment.
We'll talk about it, Ben, because obviously, look, people have said it, which, you know, we might agree, might not agree. People have been talking about it, so we are going to talk about it, of course, the whole managerial situation. But however, before we do that, how is everyone? Ben, how are you, mate? You good?
Yeah, man. It was my birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday, Ben. Woo!
Hey. Well, we obviously lost 3-0, so it wasn't the happiest of birthdays. So
birthday curse. Like,
you know, Ryan's birthday curse, my birthday curse. It's obviously the same thing. Maybe it's just a Seagull
Social. It's a Seagull
Social
thing. It is.
Yeah.
Right, well, we're going to have to wait until the September 12th weekend to see if it really is the curse of Seagull Social.
But before Brighton ruined my weekend, I did have a good weekend. Yeah, it was good fun, man.
Good man, good man. And Ryan, how was your trip to Bournemouth?
About as good as it gets, mate, really. Love. I mean, do you know what? The thing that I'm happy about is I got out pretty quickly. Considering, and got home in within an hour and a half, which is pretty good going. And I didn't get wet.
Wow.
It only rained by the time I got to Southampton, and it rained at full time, but it didn't.
Great success.
I didn't get wet, so I'm happy with that. So as far as I'm concerned, it's a win, really.
Good man. But aside from football, you're good? You're okay?
I'm all right. Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm fed up watching this football club, because that's completely incorrect. But at the minute, I'm just looking forward to summer. I really am. I just want to roll on summer. I don't want to be that super negative guy, you know, but I'm just like, I've had enough of this season. It's done
in
everyone's books. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of talking points, Maz, I'm sure we'll get into it, but I'm sure that everyone feels the same at the moment. The season is fizzled out for the first time in probably a long time.
Yeah, mate, I'm exactly the same as you. I feel like it's one of those points in the season where it's not going well. We haven't won, I think, one win for Nottingham Forest in the last, since December or something crazy?
three wins since December. Like, three league wins since December. Like Sheffield United, Forest Green, Nottingham Forest and Palace. So is it only those?
Might as well be. It sounds
we'll probably
sounds
lose
bang
to
on
Forest Green, even though they just got relegated.
Yeah, true.
And Roma, obviously, being the 1-0 win after losing 4-0 on the road. So I don't know how much you can take that with a pinch of salt. But yeah, so it's not been great, boys. And no, Ryan, I'm completely with you on that. So let's start there, actually, then. Let's start there. What's the plan from now? We're going to get into the game, Bournemouth. We will talk about it. But let's just talk about
this
now.
It's not much to say, to be fair, apart from the goals.
Yeah,
exactly. But we can skip it if we want. But let's talk about now, then. Ben, we'll start with you. From now, there's 4 games to go. What do you want to see from Brighton Albion from now until the end of the season. Do you like the fact that De Zerbi's obviously playing the younger lads a bit more? You know, he's giving a chance to the likes of I can never say his name. Marco Mahoney.
I think it is. Armani.
Armani, designer brand.
Armani up top. And then Afire, of course, as well. Barco, like, yeah, he's given a chance to young players. Do you like that approach at the moment, obviously, with a couple of more games to go? Do you think that's the right approach?
Yeah, I mean, if we've got nothing to play for, you might as well. Any players coming back from injury, try and get them some match sharpness, even though it's before the end of the season, just good to get them, get some minutes under them. But if we are playing these youngsters, and the teams that are coming up are going to absolutely batter us, so it's not going to do their confidence any good, is it? Like, we got battered by Bournemouth, we're going to get battered by Newcastle away, we're going to get battered by Villa, and we're going to get battered probably by Man United as well, even though they're shite. So I don't know. Yeah, play the youngsters, sure, but I can't imagine they're going to be having any fun on the pitch if we're just going to be getting trounced by the way we're set up.
So do you think then, Brian, on that, with what Ben has said, which is very positive, by the way, do you think we need a blend of experience and youth? Or do you think, you know, going fully youth is the right thing to do? Or do you think it should be a blend?
Yeah, to be fair, I asked exactly that to De Zerbi the other day. And I said, you know, it's good to see them. And he said, well, the thing is now we're in a situation where we've got to build the new Brighton, because the old Brighton was, you know, I say old Brighton, they're still here, but I mean the Solly Marches, the Mitomas. And he said that we need to rebuild the energy again. And that is your Omanis, your Afires, your Barcos, players that probably aren't in the reckoning. So yeah, I agree. It's maybe in the short term, it could mean we take a few pepperins, because like you look at Barco, for example, I actually thought, considering he's probably the bright spark yesterday. I was quite happy with the Fire till he sort of ran out of legs. I didn't think they ashamed themselves whatsoever. I think that Barco just got quite a position. He's very naive. And that's fine. Like, you know, you can live with it a little bit because he's 19. Like, you know, it's just what it is. And I think that, yeah, we might have to suffer a bit of naivety. But, yeah, there's not much choice, is there? Because it's not like the old boys have been exactly kicking it. So, you know, if they're not performing, give the kids a go. And, you know, just let them try. Because it's better than nothing, is what I look at it as.
No, definitely. And just on Barco, actually, yeah, I think you bang on. With regards to that third goal, especially, where he was out of position. And then, to be honest with you, he didn't really track back. And I think that was that. I don't think that was out of, like, what's it called? Not wanting to, not out of, you know, wanting to get back and tracking back. I think he just didn't have the legs. I think, you know, to play a full 90 against Bournemouth at such a young age and an experience as well, I think it's going to take it out of you. So yeah,
also, the size of his legs, he's running double the pitch. He's running double the pitch more than anyone. Just because
so
of the
young.
Of ground he has
it's
to
quite
cover.
Cute, really. It really hit me yesterday because, you know, seeing him up close training and warming up, my dad was like, Barco looks like a little kid, doesn't he? I was like, he literally does. Yeah. Like, and he is. He's 19.
Someone's make a wish to play for Brighton's for the last game of the season.
He's so
just
good.
One of the mascots. One of the mascots came on the pitch.
He's giving chances to everyone now.
Yeah, but no, I think, to add on to what both of you said, yeah, I definitely think it's the right thing to do with regards to integrating a few of the younger players. I think it's the best time to do it. There's nothing really on the line. You're not fighting for Europe. You're not battling relegation. I think it's a perfect time to do it. Get these young lads embedded and get them used to first team football. I don't think it's a better time to do it. But at the same time, I do agree with you, Ben, to an extent, whereas is that to the detriment of just absolutely shattering our confidence and losing, you know, to sort of bad score lines and just losing. Does that put us in a good stead for next season? Do you know what I mean? Now everyone's going to look at us and be like, oh, well, let's tip them for relegation. And we're going to have this weird, you know, thing on us where they're going
to
say
they're
not very good.
To be honest.
Yeah, no, true. It does work.
We'll just completely prove it. Because I'm so confident that we will be fully back next year. We will have that back in the summer. We'll have our best players back, the majority of them anyway. And De Zerbi will be able to play the style of football that we've been playing, where we've been winning matches and scoring lots of goals. Like, that will come back. It's just right now it's poor. Was it even like this time last season, or maybe it was the season prior under Potter, where we played like Newcastle late in the season? I think we were in the Crimson Kit, so maybe it was last year. Oh, no, that might have been last year, because it was the Crimson kit, I think.
We done all right to the back end of last season. Obviously, we got European football.
Yeah, but we got battered, though, didn't we, away at Newcastle?
Good point, yeah.
I feel like that. I feel like that's going to happen again, and probably for the rest of the season, the way we're going.
And Ryan, do you have any fears of that happening going into next season, having a bit of a, not a stigma, but having basically a bad end of this season? Do you think that will have a knock-on effect going into the season coming up?
No, I don't. I think, you know, if I didn't trust the club, I would, but I do, so it's all right. You know, I think that's the one thing we have above a lot of other clubs, is that I trust that we do make amends. And I don't imagine that, you know, the higher ups in the club are watching the team right now and thinking, okay, this is genuinely what we want at this stage in the season in terms of, you know, quality on the pitch now. Not to say Baleba, not to say Barco, not to say Afaya, not to say Omani won't be great for us, but right now they're just kids and that's all they are. And until they fulfill their potentials, that's all they will be. So yeah, I'm sure the club are looking at it like that. But at the same time, when you look at the potential of them players, you look at Baleba, you look at Barco, you look at Omani, and you're like, yeah, but then these potential players are very, very, very good. These are potentially, you know, massive, massive linked sales and all that sort of fun stuff that comes with being Brighton fans. So I don't think I look at next season with that concern. Probably the only concern I'd have, and I think Owen BHAFC on Twitter said it, and I do agree with him in that the one problem has been the injuries this season, and you just hope that they haven't been so burnt out this season, like Pascal Gross, like Lewis Dunk, you know, where they've played so many games, 90 minutes, and I don't think Dunk can handle 90 minutes every single week, and Gross, no one can. So hopefully that doesn't lead on to next year. You've seen JP Van Hecker now is out. So hopefully that doesn't lead on to next year, where we've got some, you know, some stiff legs to start with. That's what we don't want.
I'm not concerned about Dunk not getting a rest, because I doubt Southgate will, may one, pick him, or two, give him any time at all. Pascal Gross seems like he could start for Germany. I remember Julian Nagelsmann, there was like that rumour that he's going to start in a pivot with Toni Kroos. So we could see Pascal Gross playing a lot of minutes in the summer, which will be a bit frustrating. Same with JP Van Hecke. I imagine he probably start. I know maybe he doesn't start with Van Dijk, but he probably does get minutes maybe off the bench for the Netherlands. So those players probably won't be getting up, you know, too much of Van rest, which is a worrying thing.
Yeah. Sorry, Ryan, what were you saying? You were on mute.
Oh, sorry. I said he doesn't tend to get called up, Van Hecke, does he? They normally pick Van de Ven.
I didn't think that.
Really?
Is the other one. Yeah, he's not been called up yet. And I think actually we tried to make a point of it, didn't we? Trying to say, you know, to De Zerbi saying, you know, to talk about him being picked for Netherlands, and obviously he's not been picked yet. So, I mean, yeah, he's injured now. So,
yeah, that pretty much ruled out now. Yeah, exactly. But talking of injuries, at the moment, I'm just looking at the injury tracker. We've got 8 players out at the moment: March, Ferguson, Hinchelwood, Estepinian, Matoma, Lamptey, Milner, and Van Hecker, as we've just talked about. Now, in terms of sort of long term absentees, I suppose, Solly March is a big one. Hinchelwood obviously won't be back until next season out. Estepinian has been said that he won't be back until, I believe, September of this year. So that'll be the beginning of next season. Now, with regards to that, what areas do we need to really focus on, I suppose, in the transfer window? I know we've talked about this multiple times, but just quickly, with these injuries, where's the most important? And we'll start with you, Ben.
Well, looking at the fully fit squad, we still need to, I think the big one has always been the centre midfield thing. We still probably need one or two decent midfielders. Even Baleba's getting linked with a move to the top 6 teams as well. I saw that today. I don't know how true that is.
Yeah, I saw that.
If we do lose him, then we've got to replace him as well. So, yeah, I'd say centre midfield. And then looking at Barco, I think when I knew that we were signing him, it looked like I was kind of saying, oh, he's going to be like an attacking left-back, a bit like Pervis Acepinian. But obviously at the moment, it doesn't really look like he can be a left Premier League left back. He's probably too small.
FIFA got it right, mate. He's left winger.
Huh?
I said FIFA got it right. He's a left winger on there.
FIFA. <Why? laughs> See, you always joke about my FIFA knowledge, but it's paid off for once.
Ben was always right.
I think Mabel probably do need another left back. And Lamptey would happily keep him for his 20 minutes a season, but we definitely need another right back as well.
Yeah. I think for me, definitely centre midfield and right back. Right, Ryan? Anything to add?
Yeah, agree. Centre mid, centre back as well. Just having this conversation, it's an uncomfortable sort of conversation, but you know, you've seen sort of Dunk's form this season. Can we rely on him maybe the whole way through next? Not through his quality, but through maybe his legs. You see every now and then he's probably played a bit too much this season. Van Hecker are the same. Who else have we even got really? Igor's, you know, maybe taken a bit of a hit in form. I wasn't completely impressed.
You mentioned Webster.
Bournemouth. Yeah, Webster as well. So I think that there's definitely, we do need another left-sided centre-back. I did actually didn't agree with you, Maz, when you first said it about Igor, but maybe in hindsight now, I'd be inclined to agree and say, yeah, we do need the extra bit of depth or another starting figure, someone that's going to push either Igor or Van Hecker. Centre mid agree. You know, that's a given, really, isn't it? We are so light in that sort of muscle end of midfield. And right wing. Right back, left back, right back probably as well, as you say.
Just the whole squad, really.
Wait, yeah. Right wing, really? Do you not think we've got enough to for right wing? Really?
No, definitely
but let's
not.
Say like Sarmiento comes back. I was having this conversation with my mate actually. He was asking like, oh, does Sarmiento get minutes or like what's gonna happen to him next season? Obviously he's done quite well at Ipswich, and if they do get promoted, will they go on loan again or will he sign for them permanently? I'd rather keep Sarmiento as a squad player, but I doubt he probably wants to be a squad player at this age. He probably wants to be playing first team football in the Premier League, which he could do at Ipswich if they do get promoted. So like maybe Sarmiento won't be an option at right wing, but I guess then yeah, it does rule out him. Facundo isn't a right winger but seems to be playing in the right wing, but is that only because we need him there and he can't?
I don't want that at all.
So then it's Solly. Adingra is probably better on the left but can play on Adingra's the right left as well winger.
That's what I'm saying, we've got no right wingers. So I think right wing's definitely a necessity, and also we don't know the level Solly's going to come back to. There's no doubt in Solly's mentality to get better, but we don't know physically how he's going to be. He might come back and be great, and that's fine, but you know, we've got Ibrahim Osman now to battle with Mitoma. We've got, you know, some proper left wing competition with Adingra as well. So that's what we need. We need a good two or three players in that position that are good enough.
We say that, but he's probably going to go out on loan again, let's be honest.
We spent like 20 mil on him. He'll stay.
He looks really talented.
Also, as well, talking of like incomings and outgoings, I saw Simmer apparently is definitely on his way out next season.
Looks like it, doesn't it?
Transfer window. So, another sort of attacking option, yeah. Obviously, Dennis Undav's coming back, which I think is a massive, massive plus. He's banging him in the Bundesliga. He scored again.
I'll be honest,
I was so shocked when we let him go. Even at the time, we all said it, didn't we? We were very perplexed as to why he was let go in the first place. But clearly, he wanted, first team football, and I get that.
Germany,
but at the same time,
wasn't it as well? I think he was homesick, wasn't it?
That's
what it was.
Yeah, Fez. Yeah, and look, he's pretty much cemented his spot now. So he's done what he set out to do, and fair play to the guy. And yeah, he's banging in goals. So if he comes back and he's in the same form, that could be huge for us, especially going forward. Well, at the moment, we can't really score many goals. So, well, proves it with our goal of the month being Murray's own goal. So
great.
Yeah, I think that perfectly encapsulates our month, really, doesn't it? Our only goal of the month contender is a Murray's own goal at Burnley.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it just sums it up, really.
You see that every now and then on Twitter, being, I can't believe this is blah, 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 his only goal of the season. It's like, it's actually happened to us. It's embarrassing. Very embarrassing.
Yeah. It's never done it before, has it? In the Prem.
It's bad. It's not good. But yeah, so yeah, Undav could be a great option coming back, obviously. Now, this brings me
There was a moment where I got mixed up with our player of the month, where they get a free Porsche for a month and also the goal of the month. So I was thinking that, are we going to have to give a Porsche away to the Burnley goalkeeper from the Brian Porsche thing? I thought that would have been funny.
They should do that just for the content.
On a Porsche outside the training ground. That would be funny.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Hashtag content. But that does bring me on really nicely, actually. I was also having a debate earlier on today with a group chat I'm in with lots of Premier League fans, especially from like the top six as well. Now, the conversation that came about was about how we should... So one Man City fan, a shout out to Lewis, who's a Man City fan. He said we need to spend. He wants us to compete, and he thinks that we haven't spent enough money considering how much money we've made. Now, first of all, just quickly, do we agree with that statement, Ryan?
Yeah, 100,000%. It's literally a
yeah,
fact.
I do if it doesn't happen this summer.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, now what I want to bring up is a few stats. Okay, so there was and I'll send these to you, Ben, so you can put them on screen or whatever for people to see. Now, okay, cool. So I'll just read them out then. In that case, now it was like basically profit versus revenue, wages, amortization. Don't know what that means, but it's a big word. And then wages plus amortization. So essentially, we were bottom of the table in terms of money spent and revenue, and also in terms of our wages, etc. So we were bottom of the table, which is a good thing, 19%. And then Aston Villa were on the top end of that table at 121%. This is based on last season, right? So they spent a lot of money, but not as much as people might think. That was a sort of a talking point. So yeah, we were bottom of that list, right? And in terms of wages spent as well this season, we are 14th in the league, 62 million. And the likes of Man City, Man United, Arsenal, Chelsea have spent in well excess of 150 million. Now, what I wanted to ask and why I brought these sort of stats up is going into this window, how important is it for us to spend? And if we do spend, how important is it to be sustainable? Because we've seen it in the past with the likes of, let's say, Leicester. They won the league. They spent a bit of money. And obviously, it did then, you know, they're in the Championship. Obviously, they've now come back up. But, you know, it didn't work out best for them. So, Ben, let's start with you. With regards to spending, we can obviously go out and spend 200 million. But is that the right move to make, considering the risk versus reward? Because if it all backfires, we've spent 200 million and it hasn't paid off. So, what's your view on it all?
Yeah, you've always got to have a balance. I wouldn't go out and just spunk 200 million in one window for many reasons. Like, you could end up doing what Chelsea have done. You could end up buying too many players and then upsetting a lot of the squad, which I've probably done countless times.
Well, I mean, we've got a big squad as it is, right?
Yeah, it's a big squad as it is. So you're going to have loads of people that usually did get minutes were probably going to end up suddenly not getting minutes, and they're going to be upset, and then it'll cause a lot of disharmony in the camp. Again, this is just Football Manager. If someone that's been at the club for a few years has started not getting any minutes and they're friends with a lot of other cliques within the club, they're going to be just bringing everyone else down, I guess. So, yeah, you need to make sure the squad harmony is always on point. For us, it wouldn't be like spending big buying loads of players. It's more just probably like, I'd rather us buy like three big signings rather than like five decent signings, basically. That way, you're probably not going to upset too many people.
Yeah, and Ryan?
Yeah, I agree. You don't want to have a bloated squad, but we need to fill it with more quality now. That's my thinking. I don't care how much we spend. I don't care if we spend 100 million. I don't care if we spend 50 million. I think all that really matters is as long as we've got quality now, that's all I really care about.
Just quickly, what you said on that. Let's say we only spend 50 million, hypothetically. Is that enough to buy a quality two or three? Well, not two or three, but that's probably very unrealistic. But even get you in this day and age, in this market, is 50 million going to buy you the quality that we need right now, a ready-made quality replacement?
I mean, when you put it like that, we've got obviously Mitoma for 2.5. Same amount we paid for Craig McHale-Smith, if I'm right in saying. We've got Jao Pedro for 30.
Baller.
Who else is our biggest player? We've got Solly on a free, obviously, for the academy. So far, we've got our three best players for so far 32.5 million. I'm just trying to think. Dunk's free. Gross was 3 million. So that's now 36.5 million. 15.
17? Yeah, 15. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe 16, whatever it was. Between that bracket. Not much. So
the only thing with all of them,
definitely,
though, Ryan, is like they're not players that most people knew about. So I guess you could say that we could buy loads of randoms, that they will all of a sudden be our first team players. But at the same time, if you want that guarantee or near enough guarantee, surely you'd be going for someone that is a ready-made player and someone that they know is going to hit the ground running straight away rather than signing a Mitoma that used to play university football like a couple of years prior to us actually signing him.
Yeah, but then Matoma's always been a good player. It's a bit like when Salah was at Fiorentina, wasn't it? And everyone was talking about Salah being one of the best players in the world, but he was at Fiorentina, so no one thought about him. And then obviously he goes to Roma, was it? And then he went to Liverpool from there. Basel, sorry, not Fiorentina. I knew it was one of the two. Yeah. So
he did go Fiorentina.
Was he? I know it was someone like that. I knew it was
it's definitely Roma and Basel, but I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, yeah, he played.
Yeah, he was.
You know, he's always been a world class player. You know what I'm trying to say. So I guess there's always the talent's always there in these players. It's just about finding the right ones. That's the good thing about having Tony Bloom's stuff. You know, we've got this star lizard thing that's gonna, you know, identify these players regardless. And I think I heard from. Go on, sorry.
Just quick one. How sustainable is that, though? Is that a sustainable model for us to have? Because basically what's happening is at the moment, and look, we got to be realistic. It's a natural sort of football food chain kind of thing. But how sustainable is it that if we keep developing these players, keep bringing them up, and then they just go, and we just go sell them, how are we ever going to get better, and how ever we're going to be at the top table if we keep going with this model of buy cheap, sell big?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's why, you know, you see into the summer now, the motto is, we don't want to sell, we don't need to sell. Tony Bloom's obviously said it. I think it's a bit of a narrative that Brighton are trying to push now, is that we don't want to sell, we don't need to sell. And we're going back to them old ways and not being so shrugged off. I mean, we've made our money. We're in a financially very, very, very good situation. So I guess now it's just using them players that come up on Tony Bloom's radar. And, you know, if something does go wrong, we do sign a player that doesn't work out, i.e. your Zakiris, i.e. looking back on the hippier days, you know, there's always going to be anomalies, for example, but that's just improving the technology that he's got. So, you know, it's only going to get better because he's learned from the mistakes that we've already had. I must admit, I don't think we're going to sell anyone this summer. And I think we'll hold on to everyone. And that basis alone, as long as we keep hold of De Zerbi, I want to keep hold of De Zerbi. I don't want us to sack him because I do think he's probably close to being the sack than he is going to Bayern, for example, based on recent form. And so I hope we keep hold of him, rebuild the squad and move on to next season because the players are there. We know that. That's what we do. Go on, Ben. Sorry, I know you're itching to say something so bad. I can see it in your face. Yeah.
It was a long time ago. but Matt, as you were saying, like, oh, buy cheap, sell big. But why can't we do all three? Why can't we buy cheap, sell big, and also buy big as well. Use the profit.
Yeah, no, you can do both.
You can buy youngsters, and you can also buy ready first team made players. Surely,
exactly. Yeah. Oh, you see, no, 100%.
We should do it. We have the
capacity. Yeah, we should do both.
That's looking at a player that we want to poach, which we haven't done really. So you know, we saw it with Kamari Doyle. A youth player that we poached. We haven't done that really either. So I think we're starting to change. And I mean, you look into this, I think I said it on the last podcast, didn't I? That the last windows, and this is, again, don't quote me on this, but Brighton have only spent according to their budgets that's been set. So the budgets that's been set until this season alone has been in the assumption that we finished 17th, right? And after that, you know, could you imagine since we got promoted, that 7 years of us assuming that we finished 17th, so we've spent according to that, apart from the first year we had a bit of an overhaul of the season. And then since then, we've obviously finished 6th, 9th, and this season probably finished between the 10th and 14th bracket, right? I think this season, this summer, it changes. It's no longer we want to stay in the league, we want to compete for top 10. We've already beaten that. So now let's try and challenge for Europe and act like we want to challenge for Europe. You saw in January, the links that we were being linked with were much better. Last summer were much better. We just didn't compete really with the wages. I wonder if that changes now we're in a financially stable situation this summer.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
That's a really good point, because Caduce, I think, is the best example of that. Was it? He's on 90 grand a week. We're paying Antofagasta 120.
Well,
yeah, but,
no,
like, but like,
I don't think West Ham actually happened to get it.
Yeah. I don't think West Ham did, yeah. I think he went to West Ham without the release clause, yeah. So this is what I'm saying. Like, with that, that's a really good point, Ryan. Because, yeah, with, for example, like a Caduce, right? Imagine if we just paid that little bit extra, just went that extra little mile. I know we don't want to get into that, because I'm assuming we don't want to play ball like that with a lot of clubs, because of just the way we negotiate. Obviously, we're very hard with that. So when clubs do it back to us, we probably try not to do the same. But just let's use Caduce as an example. That's... You know, pay him 100 grand, for example, instead of the 90k. We're already paying Ansu Fati 130, and let's be honest, he's been completely ineffective. We pay James Milner and Lallana about the same, 100k. Lewis Dunk's on roughly around that, just below maybe. Like, do you know what I mean? It's just that, I think it's just to go to that next level. Let's just push the boat out a little bit. But I do get, you do then set a bad precedent going forward, I suppose, because then it's like every player will demand the same.
If you bend over for Ajax, then everyone's going to go, oh, well, they've obviously got money.
Yeah, so
people know we've got money now, that's the thing. I feel like that might,
that's the thing,
that Kudus thing might happen a couple of times this summer. That's what I'm worried about, actually, thinking about it. Because they're going to know we've got peas to spend. Tony Bloom's already said that he wants to spend more money, so... Every club we go to and say, can we have this player? They're going to go, well, give us more. Give us way more than we should.
But this is the thing, though. Sorry. The spending thing that everyone sort of gets obsessed with. In January, we weren't going to spend. I don't know why everyone thought we were going to spend. And people saying that, you know, we've always said we're going to go in this summer and try harder and whatever, and we don't do it. It's like, yeah, but we've never been in this situation before on the back of a first ever European campaign. Last summer... Yes, it was a mistake. I completely agree. I thought it was a complete mistake from the club in not investing enough and selling our two best players. That was bad. But going into January, what option did we have? Do you really want us to spend 45 million on Dewsbury Hall?
No,
I'm not saying he's not worth that money, but like, we would have had to buy him in 2 or 3 days left of the window. Probably overspend now that they're looking to get rid of him now. Whoever gets hold of him is going to get him for 25, 30, realistically, because they have to sell because they're in financial troubles. Brighton knew that. That's why we didn't buy him. So that's what I look at it as. That's why I said to your answer, yes, I agree that we're not spending enough, but I'll agree with that after this summer. If we don't go and spend in this summer, I'll agree with it. But we've only had this financial stability going into this window, not in the other ones.
Yeah. And if we don't spend money at this window coming up, would you agree with the statement that we lack ambition, Ben?
Kind of, I guess. Because, like, it's just, if we didn't have the money
there...
This
is what I got asked. I got asked.
Probably like 80%.
Would we lack ambition if we don't spend this summer? And I'll be honest, I'll give you my answer. I think we would lack ambition because... How else are you, unfortunately, the football, you have to spend money. I know we've proven actually that you don't, because we've spent very little and we've produced, but I think really, if you look at the top clubs, the ones that actually get trophies and, you know, succeed and have something to show for it, they do spend money, whether it be, you know, 100 million or 300 million or wherever it is, it does buy success. Let's be honest.
I think the ambition, I'm only probably leaning way more into yes, that we would lack ambition, only because we have money. If we didn't have money, then you'd be like, you're asking Tony Bloom to pull his finger out his arse or whatever the saying is. But, you know, he's invested a lot of money in the club, to be fair. I'm hoping that a lot of it's coming back as well. You've got to remember that. But also, there is that money that we should be spending to achieve European football and be that club that does get it year after year. Even if it's Conference League year after year or Europa League, torn between the two. Champions League is a long way off, obviously, but any sort of Europe... every single season would be incredible.
Well, Tony Bloom did say he wants us to become an established European side. So, yeah, you take that as you will. And so, yeah, and Ryan, do you agree with that? If we don't spend money, we lack ambition?
Depends what you mean. Do you mean, like, not make any signings, as in not spend money? Or do you mean not spend 100 million?
Well, yeah, that's a great question, actually. I suppose, if we don't recruit... as in the right positions and also spend a bit of money. Let's say, let's use like another Caduce example. If we don't go for it because of the money and we don't buy that player, does that mean we lack ambition because we don't want to sort of just go that little bit further?
Sometimes you want them to pull the trigger. I wouldn't say lack ambition, because to say lack ambition to Tony Bloom when he's taken us from League 2 or League 1, it's a bit like, you know, I'm not going to say that to his face. You can if you like. I won't be there. You know what I mean? Like, but like, this is what I'm saying. So I only like to say things that I would genuinely say to somebody. And that's why that's the outlook I would say online. I only say things if I would say it to them in person. I wouldn't say we'd lack ambition because of how far we've come. And that sounds
but
very
is that living
old,
in the
old-fashioned.
Does that go back?
Right. Yeah, let me answer that question before you get onto it, Benny. Right. the whole thing of, yeah, living in the past, I agree, right? I hate that. I hate looking back and saying you weren't at the Goldstone. But it's different to saying that we lack ambition. No, I'm not. Because if I was to say that, that's like saying, oh, I don't care if Brighton get relegated because we got to Europe a couple of years ago. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I don't think we lack ambition.
Which is a future tweet I can definitely see. I can definitely see.
If we get relegated, do you know what? If we get relegated, I don't even care. Like, I'll just quite vibe. I'd rather away, I'm all for it. You know what I mean? But
they're in League One now.
Yeah, they are actually.
We will be as well soon.
Roll on Plymouth or Sheffield Wednesday, I don't care. But yeah, I agree with the sentiment of, yes, you need to spend money to compete. However, the way that we've done it over the last couple of years, we haven't had to spend a great deal of money to produce good players. So I don't want us to just go and spend money because we've got money. I don't want us to have to be, yes, João Pedro is a very good example of spending 30 million gets you results. But then if you look at Lacadia, Alireza Jahanbash, Florian Andone, that completely counteracts that argument. And in terms of transfer budgets. So I don't care about transfer spend.
With them, though, it wasn't huge amounts. So looking back now.
Yeah, but in relativity to us, I mean, it's like looking at Manchester.
Yeah, true, at the time.
They just went for Man United back in the day. They still sort of do it to some degree. They just go for the name. Anthony has spent 80 million on.
Yeah, that was a shambles.
But like, they're just an absolute mess. Jadon Sancho, 75. They've let him go now on a loan.
But I think
Cristiano Ronaldo.
That stems down to top level, though. Like, we're ran really well, whereas Man United aren't. And I think
that's why we don't spend that money.
Apparently, I saw something. It's like Man United scouts, when they scouted Anthony, they were like, they valued him at 20 to 25 million.
So this is the point, right? Insane, so they value him at 20 to 25 million, right? Therefore, that's all that matters in their transfer room. That's all that matters. All that matters is that man is worth 25 million. If you can't get him for 25 million, why have you bought him then? Why, even if it's 30 million,
was desperate for him.
But even if it was 30, they failed, right? So then if you look on our perspective, we valued Kiernan Dewsbury-Hall in January for 25 million, right? They want 45. We scrapped the whole idea. Kudu's exactly the same. We valued João Pedro at 30. We got him for 30. So this is what I'm saying. The value of the player is completely irrelevant. I'm sure the Japanese team valued Mitoma a lot higher than 2.5, but they didn't have a choice. We valued him at 2.5. They valued him probably a lot more than that because they knew his quality, but they had to take the money because they're a small club. So it's all relative. If your transfer room is saying that this player's worth this amount of money, you shouldn't be spending over that. And if you are, then that's a problem with the club. I don't think that the value of the player has anything to do with the quality of the player at all. You've seen so many big players.
I agree with that. Definitely, Anthony's a prime example.
Before we move on from it, I'm actually going to just look it up because I want to look up biggest transfers in Premier League history because I'm sure of it that most of the big money spendings have flopped. And I'm going to read them. And Declan Rice, I'll give you this. You've been very, very good at Arsenal. But, okay, right, here you go. Right, let me just read these out to you. I'm just going to say the names and the fee, and you're going to either laugh or cry.
We say, no, we go star or flop, all right?
That's all right, fine, that's fine. Yeah, baller or bum. Moises Caicedo. Nice.
That's great.
Nice.
Me
nice.
And my mate used to play that when we were in school. Caicedo, 115 million, right?
Oh, he's starting to pick up a little bit, but...
but 115.
Okay, bum so far. Okay, yeah, bum so far.
Enzo Fernandez, Benfica to Chelsea, 107 million, right? Yeah. These are big fees. These are players you want to be the best in the world for this money. Declan Rice, 105. Fair play.
Yeah.
Right?
Baller.
Yeah.
Half price Rice.
Grealish, 100 million. Half of that, maybe you could have said yes, good deal. Yeah, yep.
They bought an influencer at the end there, didn't they? Really, they bought
100 million
social media views.
Yeah, they literally have. They've made the money back in their social media views.
They have. That wasn't even a wind up. They actually did buy him. He's a good player as well, obviously, but that is the reason why they bought him.
Yeah, no, I agree with that though.
97 and a half million to Chelsea. 97 and a half million, and they bought him back for that. Crazy, right? Paul Pogba, 93.2. Absolutely different level. Best player in the world in terms of ability, only with Kevin De Bruyne, in my own honest opinion. However, his attitude honked, therefore flop, right? Romelu Lukaku, again, 90 million to Manchester United. Yeah. Okay, last three. Mykhailo Mudryk, 88.5 million. Antony, at 82.2 million. Harry Maguire, 80 million. Money does not guarantee success. End of story.
No, no. I agree. I wholeheartedly agree with your point you're making. I just still believe, though, we do need to spend money to achieve success. I think that's the bottom line. But I agree with you. Not you don't have to over. I think that's an example of overpaying.
Oh, it's an extreme, of course. But I'm just giving the example of the big clubs and what they do. Agree.
No, no, and it's completely valid. And yeah, it's a good point. Just final thing before we move on from all this sort of like financial side of things. Final thing, you made a point earlier, Ryan, about none of our team are going to leave. Do you think that's because, would it be a completely different scenario? Would it be sat here right now? Let's say we had a good season and all up and, you know, we finished, let's say, seventh again. Yeah, well, we would lose players. Let's
we'd
be honest.
Cooked again, yeah. We get torn apart.
Yeah, we get cooked again. So how do we stop this from happening?
We need to be good and then bad. Just be shit. Just, yeah. Just so we can give this a chance.
No, but like, on a real though. But on a real though, like, yeah. how do we stop bigger teams from as soon as we start doing well, as soon as our players start doing well, even Matoma, who's injured right now and has been injured for the last 3 months, has still been linked away with the move because he had such a great season up until he got injured. So how do we stop selling players? Because let's be honest as well, that's another big thing, is we're never going to again get better or keep, you know, showing ambition, I suppose, if we keep selling, becoming a selling club. Like, how do we stop that from happening? Or is there no way? Do we just accept it? Do we just have to accept it?
We can't.
Yeah, okay, fair. I agree. I think we just got to accept it, but Maz, it's frustrating,
realistically,
right?
Yeah. Realistically, if I'm waving you 100 mil in your face right now, and I run a podcast in America, you're coming. Whether you like it or not, you could hate the podcast.
I'm leaving Rufio.
But for 100 mil,
he's not getting fed.
You're coming. You can say what you want. You can say love
no,
Brighton,
no, facts.
But you're going. So, yeah, it's the harsh reality of life, isn't it? Money runs the world. But, yes, at some point you need to start saying no if you're selling to sort of clubs in the similar bracket to you. You don't want to be losing, you know, in our imaginary league of your West Ham's, Newcastle, you know, that bracket. You don't want to be losing them to them, because that's when there's a bit of a problem. You've got to wonder what's the incentive to do that, you know?
Yeah. No, 100%.
Yeah, on that, right, quickly. I think that's a good point, because of where we're at now, you do look at the next step for a lot of our players. Yeah, like you said, they're not going to be going to West Ham, because that's a bit of a sideways step, isn't it, really? Unless we're not in Europe and maybe another team is in Europe and they're desperate for it. But they're only going to be making steps into the bigger teams or abroad, really, aren't they? I guess they're the big teams abroad.
Yeah. For sure. And then final one then, boys, because it has been spoken about and Rufio does need to be fed, Ben. And that's hence why he's probably going to hear him barking in the back.
He heard that, didn't he?
Yeah. Let's talk about De Zerbi. De Zerbi, what do you think's going on with De Zerbi? Is it the talk of him potentially leaving? What's going wrong at the moment with him, Ben?
Yeah, there's a lot of noise outside of the club, isn't it, really? And he's kind of playing up to it. A lot of people saying there's like a bit of a Mexican standoff between him and Bloom. You know, he's been like flirting with the idea of leaving to these different clubs, Liquid Napoli, Liverpool, Bayern. And yeah, maybe he is frustrated with Bloom, potentially, the way the season's gone, not getting backed in Jan with the players that he probably wanted. He's probably a bit embarrassed of how fat he's worked out, who's worked out, because the only players that he did want have turned into crap, really, let's be honest. So yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot of that. Is he basically making us look rubbish so he can get sacked and then find it easier to get a job in the summer? I saw someone say that theory that way, because obviously if he did end up leaving himself, maybe he wouldn't be able to find a club that much quicker. I saw some sort of theory about that. But I just think there's just a lot of noise going on, really. I just want the season to be done so they can have this meeting together and work on the objectives for the summer, what players they want to get, and hopefully be on the same page and be strong at the beginning of the season, really.
Yeah. Ryan, anything to add with the whole De Zerbi gate?
Yeah, not really. I mean, just the noise doesn't help, does it? Too much talk, probably. Not just from him, but from the media. Doesn't help. Needed to be shut down. need to be muffled a lot sooner. Dogs off. But yeah, needed to be muffled a lot sooner. I think Rufio agrees, is what I take from that. It's not because he wants a biscuit right now.
Just on that, though, it has been annoying me how much De Zerbi has been vocal in the press. I'm not going to lie. I think it's just there's ways to go about certain things. And in my opinion, I feel like he has been doing a lot of like weird cryptic stuff as well, like in the press and, you know, talking about like airing his dirty laundry about the contract talks and where he is with stuff. That's my only sort of negative with De Zerbi. It's just, I feel like there's certain things you keep behind closed doors, unless it's like a cry, like, is it a cry for him to be like, I want to go? I don't know. I'm just.
It hasn't helped him
right now
at all. What he's got is very much shot himself in the foot because he's showing that he can be not the best person to work with. He's getting so much stick in the media. And that's only going to taint his reputation. Like, it was only a few months ago when he was seen as the messiah, the one that can be the next Liverpool manager or can link with Barcelona, link with taking over Man United as well, maybe being the saving grace for them. But none of them will want to sniff at him anymore after seeing how he's acted over the past few months and seeing how we've been as well. He's getting a lot of critics from fans as well, right? Yeah. He's only got one plan. A lot of people seem to think that he's not the top manager that he probably thinks he is.
Yeah. And I've been seeing a lot of talk about how fans don't rate him anymore. Because obviously before, what was it, only 3-4 months ago, people were saying, oh yeah, you know, linking for the big jobs and, you know, he's going to go to Liverpool, all that kind of stuff. And now they're all saying, oh, wouldn't want to touch him with a barge pole. Apparently Chelsea fans don't even want him anymore. I mean, that's bad when Chelsea fans don't want him. If Chelsea don't want him, then you must know something's going wrong. But right, just quickly then, let's just finish it off with on De Zerbi. Ryan, do you want him to stay? Do you want him to go? Just a final little statement on that.
Yeah, I want him to stay. I want him to stay. I don't let this last period of time judge that at the moment. Yes, I want their form to be better, but I can live with it. I look at the starting 11 of the last few games and I can see why, where we are. We're where we should be. As much as that would be very hard to hear for a lot of people, but we are where we should be at the moment. I think it's just a big summer. Let him stay. Rebuild his stuff. Maybe a little bit less talk. But I think, can I just answer that, by the way? I said it before, but a lot of people think that he says stuff like, he gets really taken out of context. So even I saw a tweet yesterday, and this isn't a dig at Andy, because I really like Andy, but he put something on saying like, where's the tweet? Yeah, about the Brighton players lost motivation. But then if you actually read the quotes, it doesn't quite say that, to be honest. It says, here we go. He said that injuries and motivation are factors in terms of the tough situation. But he said, motivation in football, I think that is 80% of my work. And in my time, we've kept up a big challenge, a big target, blah, 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 blah. It can happen. It's normal. But I cannot accept a game without soul because we are Brighton and we have to respect ourselves for our club, for our fans. And I'm sorry for that. And he said, I'm suffering a lot, but I've worked in football for 30 years. So I know this can happen and we have to stop this moment quickly. So that to me doesn't sound like someone who's not motivating the team or motivating himself. That to me sounds like someone who wants to prove it back. He does. Yeah. This is what I'm trying to say. It gets misinterpreted a lot. So it makes him look a lot worse than he actually is. And I'm telling you that from someone that physically sees it in person. Like, I speak to him. I shook his hand the other day. I get what he's trying to say. It gets misinterpreted. And I'm not just saying that because I'm trying to back myself up before I go and, like, that's what people say, won't they? They'll say, oh, Ryan's just saying it because he'll see De Zerbi. No, I'm saying it because I'm genuinely serious. Like, it gets misinterpreted. So don't think that what he says in the quote is exactly how it comes out.
Yeah, he does have, obviously, language barrier as well, to be fair. So, yeah, that is understandable. And then just finally, boys, I want to play a quick game, just really, really quickly. I think we can all participate in this one as well. We're going to play quickly.
No more De Zerbi chat, let's do this.
We're going to play sell, loan or keep. All right,
current squad. Shall I go?
right, really, really quickly. All right, let's go. So, Verbruggen. Just answer quickly.
Keep.
Steal. So, well, actually, no. Keep for the vibes.
Keep for the vibes. Yeah, I agree with that.
Keep for the vibes.
And Westhove Golf Club need him as well because apparently he's class.
Okay, I'm not doing everyone, by the way. I'm just doing a select few. All right, Tarek Lamptey.
Keep.
keep. Just don't get injured.
Sell.
Again.
Sorry. Webster.
Sell.
Sell.
Yep.
Tell him to go.
Donkey.
Keep.
Keep. Obviously.
Oh, that didn't sound convincing, boys. But yes, also keep.
No. I was going to jokingly say no, but then refuse because that could have been clipped.
No. Barco, loan, yes or no?
No.
Loan or keep?
At this rate, keep him because we need him.
Okay. Estupiñán?
Keep.
He's injured for ages anyway. He's out until October, so yeah, keep.
Okay, he's out. Milner?
Sell.
Keep.
Yep, sell.
Not really?
That's about Milner.
Yeah, mate, the wages cooked for a few games, didn't he?
Just, mate, just, no, but it's just the wages for me. The wages are just mental. For a player, like, cool, he's good for, you know, like a Lallana vibes.
I'm keeping
but,
a consultant for 100 grand a
yeah,
week.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's just nuts. It's nuts, yeah. Yeah, I'm not having it.
Sorry, James.
March is out injured. Gilmore, obviously, we're going to keep. Pascal.
Keep.
Obviously. Oh, I'd love to keep him, but I think he might go, yeah. You know. I'm a bit worried. Record.
Ooh.
Just a bit worried if he goes the homesickness, but no, I hope he stays.
Yeah,
one more season, I think. Pascal.
Lallana,
get him in the coach. Yeah. Get him as a coach
or coaching. Yeah, maybe coaching.
Yeah, coach. Yeah, coach.
Do a Tom Huddleston and Jay Spearing and play in the under-21s and do that sort of thing.
now this is the next one's an interesting one. Jakub Moda. Now I was getting impressed with him, but now he's sort of starting to fall off a little bit. So Jakub Moda, what are we saying?
Get him back in the Skoda.
Fuck's sake. I think I'm sell as well, unfortunately. Yeah, or maybe a loan, just to see what.
Got
to
be ruthless.
Yeah, loan him out.
Loan him out. Cameron Poupion. I like that name. Poupion.
Loan.
The kid always goes out.
So.
Yeah, I know. He always goes on loan to Perth Glory on my FM save, and I'm just like, maybe try not going to the A League just because you're Australian.
This is a good one. Ansu Fati, would you send him back to Barca or keep him for another year?
Send him.
I'll send him back, probably. Yeah, unless we get him on a good cheap deal.
Like Nigel Farage, send him back. Build that wall. Right. I'm joking. And then the final one. I know you're all going to, what you're going to say to this one, because I am actually going to agree with you all. Danny Welbeck.
Keep.
Yeah, lifetime.
He's already staying, isn't he? He's got another contract.
He's already signing a contract. Boys, that was an absolute pleasure. Loved every minute of it. I hope you did too. I actually thoroughly enjoyed that. We didn't talk about Bournemouth, but rightly so.
Yeah, so, they scored three goals, basically, if you wonder.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you one moment, I do want to touch on it. It was actually quite funny. And Ciso's unbelievable effort. And it was.
Oh, yeah, and
like
he started running away.
He starts running off. Like,
oh, yeah.
And then he's...
Yeah.
Can I tell you also about Julio, you know?
He's got a strike on him, by the way. Yeah, go
mate,
on.
As soon as that full-time whistle went, he just came up to the away end, and he was the only one to do it, and just held his hands up, and was just like patting his chest, sort of like apologising to the whole away end, and went over to every bit of it and just sort of apologising. And I just thought that was nice, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I love that.
You know,
I
like we've that. Been completely I like that. Outplayed again, and yeah, it's nice to see the players care a little bit.
Oh,
tell
final
what,
question
for
Bruno
Marte, unbelievable run, and then he just like took way too long and tried to become
yeah,
a message.
Yeah,
like, just shoot. Just shoot. Half the club is just like, just shoot.
Yeah, please.
Okay, brother. I just quickly want to ask you boys, just quickly, with the last remaining games to go, how many wins are we getting? Is it out of four more games I think we've got?
Zero.
It's looking bleak, right?
Wait, how many points are Palace behind us? Because I think that's the only thing we've got to fight for now. Fuck me, we are cooked. We are done.
We're done.
They're winning. They're actually going to finish above us. Oh, my God.
No, they actually will.
They will.
Right.
Wait, let's quickly look at their team. Look what they're running. Crystal.
Oh, Jesus.
Palace,
do we have to?
Fixtures. Mate.
Do we care?
Okay, they
do
got,
we care?
No, we don't.
Because
of our situation, I don't care so much.
We do care.
Genuinely.
This is the only thing we can fight
let's
for.
Pretend we don't.
It's the only thing.
Let's pretend we don't.
No, we have to. We can't not. Right, they got Palace.
No, I actually,
got,
I actually couldn't give a crap.
They got Man United at home. They'll probably win because Man United are arse. They got Wolves away. Could get a point there, which brings them on to 4 points out of those two. And then they've got Villa last game of the season at home.
Ooh, might get beat.
Oh, I mean, look.
But yeah,
might get
beat.
But that's 4 points. That's 4 points.
They've definitely got two winnable games.
But that could be... famous last words.
And what's the goal difference looking at? Looking like...
We're minus five, I think.
They're minus 12. Okay, so there's a chance.
That's an extra
points,
point.
Basically.
That's an extra point.
Yeah.
There is a chance that we could get...
Right,
if they finish above us, so that would be an absolute travesty. That would be a travesty.
That'd be mental. That would be absolutely mental. Right, boys, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for everyone joining us. As always, we love your support. We really appreciate it. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube, and as well as giving us 5-star review on Apple and Spotify, because we are legends and we deserve it. Guys, love you all so much. We deserve it. Peace out, Eitan Down.
Comment
and
below,
see you.
Deserve being around.
See you.
Yeah, let us know.
After Newcastle. Yeah. I might Villa. Not be here, good but luck. I'm Villa. Oh, sorry.
Villa.
Yeah. Right. Peace.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.